Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. It is a very interesting thing being a preacher, preaching God's Word. I hear messages, and I have to work hard to not critique the message. It's something that is just, I guess, natural to what preachers are, that we're always like, well, I wouldn't have said it that way, or I wouldn't have done this way. And thankfully, the Lord is blessed of late where I haven't been critical in any negative sort of way. And I've been blessed by that, by listening to the message without a critical ear. And this morning, I heard a message, and it was a good message. It covered a lot of good things, but I wasn't listening to a critical ear with a critical ear. But as I did listen to it, other things came to my mind that I would have said if I had been preaching it. And so, not in any way to be critical of the gentleman who preached where I was this morning, who, again, it was a very good message, and I was blessed by it. But I would like to preach from the same passage this evening, and that is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. And that's because there were some things that came to me that I wanted to speak about to all of you. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Amen. So, as we think about this passage, we can see clearly that there are three very short parables pushed together. He starts them off with, again. The reason he says again in verse 44 is because there were some other parables that he had already mentioned that we're not going to be looking at this evening because of time. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So the first thing you have to understand is, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is the kingdom of heaven what the Jews were thinking about? That it was Christ going to set up an earthly kingdom here on earth? Or is the kingdom of heaven something else? Well, according to the Gospels and Scripture, it is the kingdom of heaven is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is salvation. It is relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus comes, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Those would be synonymous. And it is the gospel of the kingdom that he is preaching, and he is saying, it's come unto you, because the gospel has come forth. Well, what does gospel mean? It means good news. The good news is that we, sitting here tonight, me standing, can hear about Jesus Christ. And although we're not Jewish, and we do not live in the locality of Israel, we can hear the gospel of the kingdom. We can hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth as a man, lived a perfect life, but died a death that he did not deserve, substituting himself for everyone that believes in him. That he died, taking the wrath of God upon himself, and was buried, and 3 days later rose again. And that everyone that believes upon him and him alone receives eternal life. That is the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus is preaching. And in these three parables, he gives us a clue some clues as to what it's like. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he talks about what it is like unto. So that's the gospel, that's the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, certainly there are a lot of people in Britain that go around with metal detectors and try and find treasure. That's because of a lot of battles and a lot of warfare that has taken place. That is not the reason, necessarily, of why Jesus is speaking about the kingdom as being like a treasure hidden in the field. Jesus uses the commonplace to explain the difficult. That's what a parable is all about. He's taking something that everybody will understand, the picture, and then applies that to something spiritual. And that's exactly what he's doing here. It's a common thing for people in Israel, in ancient Israel, to think of treasure hidden in a field. You say, well, why would it be that? Why would that be a common thing? Well, because of all of the wars that took place around Israel for hundreds of years or thousands of years, the Jewish mindset was such that you kept your wealth in three ways. Three ways. One third of your wealth, you bought property. If you buy property, you can increase your wealth by the food and by other things that you do on your property. The second way that you kept your wealth was by this idea of treasure. They didn't have banks. They didn't have places that were secure. And people's homes were not secure as we think of today with the locks and bolts that we can place upon our doors. They didn't have alarm systems. And so if you had gold, silver, jewels, whatever it might be, you wanted that, but you couldn't necessarily keep it in your house. So what you would do is you would take that in the middle of the night and you'd go out into your field somewhere and you'd dig it up and you'd put the treasure there and you'd cover it over. And then nobody would know. Only the master of the house would know where the treasure was. So that would be one third of your wealth would be in a field somewhere that you owned, obviously. And then the third portion would be placed upon yourself. You'd wear it, whether it's rings or necklaces or whatever it might be. You would keep it on your person because if something happened, if some enemy came in like the Midianites came in during the book of Judges, you could flee and still have wealth about you. It wasn't all wrapped up in your land, and it wasn't hidden in the field. It wasn't all in the bank, if you will. So what would happen? Well, say someone has done this, and they've taken a third of their wealth, and they've hidden it in their field. But then something has happened. They've had to leave. Maybe the homeowner has died, and his son has not been a very wise son, and he flitters away at all, but the dad had died before he sold the son where the treasure in the field was. And the son doesn't even know the treasure is in the field. And he says, I'm going to sell my land. And he sells it off. And maybe some large landowner comes along and he says, I'm not going to work the fields, but I'll pay you to work the fields. And all of a sudden somebody else comes along and he's plowing the fields and he's going along and he hits something. And the first thing he hits is probably going to be a stone. And he gets down, he digs it out, takes the stone and throws it over the fence. He continues to plow the field. He hits something else, but it doesn't have the same ring to it as a stone does. He digs it up and it's a chest full of treasure. That's the idea. That's what's taking place in this parable. So this gentleman, he's plowing a field that does not belong to him, and he's hoping to get some proceeds. He's going to have to give some to the landlord, and he's going to keep some for himself of the field. But he hits this treasure, and he thinks, well, what am I going to do? So he buries the treasure back where it was, finishes his day, and then he goes, and he sells everything he has, because he knows that everything he has is not worth as much as the treasure that he just found in the field. He sells everything he has, and he goes to the landowner, and he says, I really want that field. I've been plowing it, I've been working it, I really want the field. And the landowner says, okay, here you go. Here's the field, here's the deed. The landowner has the money, and now it's the new guy's field. And he goes, and he digs up the treasure, and the buried treasure is his from that point forward. That's what's taking place in this passage. So what then can we learn from this? Well, the first thing is how much value there is in knowing Christ. How much value there is in knowing Christ, in being in the kingdom of heaven. It's like unto a man who finds a treasure hidden in the field and sells all that he has. That treasure, to that man, is worth everything else in his life. If he has a house, he sells it. If he has land, he sells it. If he has a horse, a donkey, has sheep, animal, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, as long as he can get enough money together so he can buy the field so he has the treasure. Everything else pales in comparison. That's what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing else as important as this. The kingdom of heaven, knowing Christ, is more important than any familial relationship, any job, any position you have, any place you have. Because it's the one thing that is eternal. It's one thing that is eternal. There's nothing else like it. And so Jesus is saying, it's like that. You sell it all. You let it all go. Let loose of all those ties so that you can have this. Hopefully, your family comes with. Hopefully your family buys in. Hopefully they believe. But you need to believe regardless of what your family does. You need to believe regardless of what your friends do. That's the point of the treasure hid in the field. Another aspect of it is looking at who it is. Who it is that comes into the kingdom of heaven. In this instance, this man was not searching for treasure. He wasn't looking for it. He was working. He was plowing the field. And suddenly he comes upon it. You see, there are people, there are Christians today that were going along in their life and they were not looking for God. They were not seeking Him out. They didn't have their mind set upon Him. They were going about whatever it was that they were doing so that they can get ahead. They can get their little piece of this world. But suddenly, somehow, they've been introduced to Jesus Christ. And they've seen the reality of it. And they said, all this other stuff is nothing in comparison. I'm turning to Christ and I'm latching onto Him because He is the most important thing there is. It's a picture of the way some Christians came to Christ. They weren't looking for Him. They weren't searching for Him. But there they found Him nonetheless. He found them nonetheless. It's an aspect of the kingdom. But see, it's not the only aspect of the kingdom. Not everybody comes to Christ in the same way. Because then you have the pearl merchant. Jesus tells us about him in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's very similar, isn't it? Here is somebody who sees the treasure, sees the pearl of great price, and he sells everything else that he has. You can tell he's not going to be selling that pearl of great price, is he? He's not getting rid of it. Because he sold everything else. And he's done it, and he is now having that one treasure that he has been seeking for a long time. And everything else has paled in comparison. It doesn't matter how nice those other pearls were, how few blemishes there were, or how many he has, he's going to sell it all to get that one pearl. And it's a very similar analogy, isn't it? To Christ being the treasure hidden in the field. You give it all up. All of it. For Him. That idea is the same, but the person is different. The person whose the treasure is hidden in the field, he stumbles over it. But this man, he knows he's missing it. He knows it's out there somewhere. And he is seeking it. And he's doing everything. He's like, well, maybe it's over here. And I got a few good pearls here, but this just doesn't... There's got to be something better than this out there on the market. And so he goes and he keeps trading and he keeps selling and he keeps buying. And he's storing up this huge quantity of pearls. But he still hasn't found that one that make all the others pale in comparison. But when the day comes where he finally sees it, he recognizes there is nothing better than that. That is the cream of the crop. That's it. I'm getting it. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to get that one. He was seeking for it for a long time, and he didn't know it specifically. He didn't know that pearl merchant Ahab over there had the pearl he wanted, but he knew it was out there. And he's seeking for it. And he's going to keep seeking for it until he finds it. And when he finds it, he recognizes it. And he gives it all up to get it. Well, that's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of those, there are people like that who know that God is out there somewhere. And they're seeking Him, and they're trying to find Him. And they'll seek in all sorts of places. They'll seek in all sorts of churches. They'll seek in all sorts of different things. They'll go out into nature, and all sorts of things will become precious to them. But they know, this just isn't it. This just isn't the one that I'm seeking. But when they come across Christ, when they come across Jesus, they know it. And they say, what do I have to do? What do I have to give up to get this? And they give it all up. They give it all up because it's Jesus Christ. Because it's the truth. It's the pearl of great price that makes everything pale in comparison. It's eternal. It's forever. You see, there are a lot of different ways that we might come to Christ. But you have to come to Christ. It has to be Him and Him alone. There is no other way. And He is that valuable. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is such that you will give it all up. You may not have to, in the sense of you may not have to give up your family. They may tolerate you anyway. You may not have to give your family up. They might come with you. But are you willing to? You may not have to give up the church you were attending. You may not have to give up certain things. But will you? Because it's Christ alone. Nothing else. No church. No action that you take. No family member. My dad thought he was going to heaven because his mother said he was. Because she said she was going there, and she had the power to take him. And he was 64 when he died, and he believed it to the day of his death. That does not happen. It does not work. It's the pearl of great price. It's the kingdom. It's the treasure hidden in the field. It is Christ alone. Nothing else. You just look to Him alone. Because Christ didn't stop at those two parables. There is a third parable. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is a bit different, isn't it? Because there is no pearl. There is no treasure hidden in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is cast into the sea, this great net, and it gathers all the things in it, all the fish, all the creatures are caught by the net. And there are those that's the experience of the kingdom of heaven. That's the experience of the gospel. That's God reaching down and saying, you're mine. That's it. That's what happened to the disciples. Jesus was walking by and said, come follow me. And they got up and they followed him. There was no choice in the matter. It was obedience. It was obedience to the Master. And there have been many over the centuries who are just the same way. Where Jesus, you're here, you're with me. And boom, they follow. But you see, the net is cast. And there are some that look like, sound like, and act like Christians. But you see, the net is drawn in, but they're not in the kingdom. They're cast out. They're not the good fish. They're not God's children. They're cast into the furnace of fire. That's the reality of the kingdom. It is for God's children only. How are you one of God's children? By faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. If you are not of that, then when that day comes, you will be cast out just like those other fish. I remember one day when I was in university, there was a large pond or lake there on the grounds, and I was working on the grounds, one of my jobs. And as I was going along working on the pond, there was a lot of carp. I don't know if you've ever seen carp, but because that pond was an enclosed system. They didn't have any natural predators. So they grew really, really big. And a friend of mine and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we caught one of these things? And we did. We got something. We got into the thing into the water. I don't remember what it was. But we put it in this great big barrel. And that carp was about that long. And it was about that thick. It was a massive fish. It took both of us to actually get that fish out of the water. And we were like, this is cool. I knew nothing about fish at the time. And so we put it in this barrel, and we put water in the barrel, and it was okay in this barrel. And we were telling other people about it, and they said, oh, shouldn't we cook it for dinner? And someone comes along and says, what? You don't cook carp for dinner? Those are rubbish fish. You don't eat those. They're disgusting. They're worthless. Throw it back in the pond. I had no idea. There are fish that you just don't want to eat. They do not taste good. And so what do you do with them? Well, you throw them back. I mean, most of us just throw them back in the water. What Christ is talking about, this great big net, is brought onto land so you can sift through what is the good and the bad. Not everyone enters into the kingdom of heaven, but only those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what he's saying to them. And he finishes in verses 51 and 52. He says, do you understand this? And amazingly, the apostles, the disciples, they say, yes, we do. They do understand. Which is shocking because earlier in the chapter, they actually ask him about some of the other parables. Would you explain these ones to us? Which is why he asks, do you understand these ones? And they say, yes. And Jesus says, every scribe, every teacher that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. What is he saying? Well, you can think of it like these great British houses that are dotted all over the countryside. Those houses controlled huge swaths of land. And those homeowners, those landowners, were sort of responsible to take care of all the people that lived in their vicinity. They had a responsibility of that. And what do? Well, they bring out of their treasures, both things new and old, to take care of them. And that's exactly what any teacher of the Bible ought to do. You ought to bring forth treasures of the Word of God. Ought to bring forth the treasure that is Jesus Christ and point people to Him. If that's not happening, then He's not a faithful scribe. He's not someone that understands the kingdom of heaven. If He's not pointing people to the kingdom of heaven and away from the kingdom of darkness, then He's not living up to what Jesus is talking about. Because if the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl of great price, then what else should you be talking about? If the kingdom of heaven isn't like the treasure hidden in the field, what are you doing? If that's not it, why should you be talking about anything else? If that's what the kingdom of heaven is, the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great price, and you're talking about some other thing over here. What? No. Talk about Christ. Talk about the gospel. Talk about Him. And yes, build up the saints, but Christ is always there. He's always the center. No one else is the center. It should be about Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we point you to Him tonight. Amen.